Yes, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Nakari, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. On your dingy country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country, ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have you say yarn up strong, you mob. To Delhi, we're going to jump straight in and talk to beautiful Leah Cameron from Murra Law, and let's talk legal. And on the line, good morning, my sister. How are you?
Good morning. I'm really well, thanks, Trev.
Great to hear your voice, and congratulations with your beautiful child. Three girls in the family now, so two deadly.
Three girls now, I know. Got the trifecta there.
Got the trifecta. So I reckon two more than you got a basketball team. What do you reckon?
I don't know. We already think we need it. You know, our car looks like a community bus when we get going in the morning.
So. Exactly. Well, congratulations. Thinking of you.
Thank you.
So before we start, let the mob know who your mob. Where you from, Leah?
Yeah, look, I'm a Palawa woman from Tasmania. That's my mob from Lutruwita, Tasmania.
Beautiful. Fantastic. Big shout out to Palawa mob. And let's talk about a couple of topics here at the moment. Debt collection recovery notes. Let's talk about that first, sister.
Yeah. So we're talking about here when you're in business and people don't pay your bills. So you send them an invoice and sadly they don't pay on time. And look, what we sort of find for, you know, our clients is that, look, you don't really know someone until your bills are unpaid.
Yes.
So it's a good idea to sort of do a few things up front to really know who you're doing business with. So, look, one of the first things is for bigger transactions, it's a good idea to have a contract in place that really clearly sets about payment terms.
Sure.
And some of the things you might want to consider are, well, do you actually need a deposit up front? Then get the remainder when you've provided your goods and services?
Yep.
Is there a really clear time frame for them to pay? And look, if they do muck around, include a provision for charging interest on outstanding invoices or payments. Yeah.
Well, that could deter them from holding back payments. If there's an interest at the table, you know, in regard to the contract, the yarn, the agreement.
That's right. Yep, that's right. And so, look, there's some pretty easy steps to ensure you get paid along the way. You know, it's all good doing the work, but we want to make sure that the cash flow is there too.
Exactly.
So, as I said, it's really important to know who you're doing business with. So there's a couple of things you can do to help identify people. You can look up ABN numbers. You can check the full names and addresses and date of birth. And just do a bit of due diligence around, well, are the details that I've been provided correct? Because sometimes people just seem to vanish into thin air,
yeah.
Which is no good. But look, there's some other just, I suppose, easy tips you can follow as a gentle reminder along the way without seeming like a sledgehammer coming down. So one of the things is that you can provide them with another copy of the invoice as a bit of a gentle reminder. I think we all lose things from time to time.
Gentle reminder?
That's it.
Hey, I've got to feed my kids. I need my payment.
Even in my home, I leave some gentle reminders around
Thank
the place.
You.
So the other thing you can do is provide written statements for everyone at the end of the month. That's good for them to know where they're situated and how much they've spent with your business as well. You could just make a phone call to sort of go, look, you know, have I sent it to the right person? Be happy with the work we did? Do they even agree they owe you money? Sometimes people think, oh, I thought I'd paid that. So, you know, a bit of clarity around that's good.
Sure.
And sadly, sometimes people get themselves in a bit of a pickle in terms of trying to pay. So, look, good business practice, if you can, is to say, hey, if you can't make the whole payment now, why don't we enter into a payment plan or offer them credit card payments, all that sort of thing is a good idea to keeping business and keep your customers happy as well.
I suppose this is very good information, especially for brothers and sisters out there who are about to step into the business world, you know. So let's set up the conversation and the agreement and the communication and have it all up front. So it's a good topic, sister, yeah.
That's it. And look, if it all else fails, sadly, there are a couple of other options we can follow.
Sadly. So we're going, what, legal, are we?
Before that, you can send them a letter, and it's called a letter of demand, where you set out what's left, and you sort of say, look, despite all our efforts that we sort of went through, explained a moment ago, you can say, look, it's time to pay up, otherwise I'm going to have to go to court to get the money back. And so that's called a letter of demand, and some people get lawyers to help them do that. But it's good in business if you have one ready to go if you need it. And then the last resort is, as we mentioned, going to court. And look, that is absolute last resort. It's no fun for anyone. It costs you a chunk of time, money, and a fair bit of your sanity. So it should be avoided. So that's why we recommend taking those steps I outlined earlier and use it as a last resort because sometimes as well it's not worth throwing good money after bad.
Well, exactly. Now, if you're taking someone to court and you win the case and they've got to pay you the money, they also got to pay the court fees and everything too, don't they?
That's right. But, you know, as a person who's gone to court, you might not get any or even part of your money back from the other
side. Oh, is that right?
That's it. So there's a huge risk there that's always at play. And, you know, that's why we've got to make sure we dot our I's and cross our T's with all our documents along the way as well.
So I just mentioned about, people who starting a business, so Fair Mob getting out there, starting a business. This is some of the potholes that we're talking about in regard to the journey ahead, the road they're travelling on. So you're saying that someone could lose the case and then they don't even get their money and who pays the court fees?
If you start it, you're paying it. So that's right. A lot of court proceedings, you've got to pay the money up front, a filing fee. Sometimes you're self-representing, so it's not so bad. But if you've got a lawyer there as well, it's a lot of money. As I said, sometimes it's worth it, sometimes it's not. Judge whether it's worthwhile throwing more money at the issue.
And if the letter of demand comes up, thumbs up, where the client then pays you, then that's fantastic. But then you start to think twice about doing business with them again, don't you?
That's it. So, look, you do need to sort of assess those things, keep an eye on, you know, your particular industry, if things are changing, if people are becoming a little tighter with money, maybe introducing more payment options to reduce risk on your business. So all those things are at play and you do need to continually review them as a business owner.
Sure, fantastic. Now, the other topic I want to talk to you about, holding Indigenous corporation meetings under COVID-19 restrictions. We are still in a pandemic and look, it's like it's going to be here for a while in regard to how we do business and how we operate. So holding Indigenous business corporation meetings under COVID-19 with the meetings about to happen, AGM about to happen. Tell us about this, but let's talk about that introduction, please.
Yeah, that's it. So basically there's been, I suppose all of us have probably been involved in corporations from time to time, and normally it's quite straightforward to hold your AGM, but COVID sort of thrown a spanner in the works.
Yes.
Even as things settle down, you know, there's last-minute lockdown. So, look, the governments have anticipated this and they've amended legislation. And so particularly for Indigenous corporations, the Corporations Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Act, or the CATSI Act, allows some flexibility to take special measures to ensure corporations can still maintain good governance and hold both general meetings and directors' meetings. And so there's a special set of rules around this. So things such as you can request the registrar to exercise his power under the Act to postpone or cancel meetings after notice has been given if these situations arise. You can even do it virtually now if you've got the technology to do it. It can be a little bit tricky, but it can be done. You can extend time for lodging the reports that you need to file with the register or ORIC. And you can also hold meetings a little less frequently, particularly directors' meetings, if you can't use the technology.
Sure.
So there's all those exemptions there that are available, but you've just got to apply for them through the Office of the Registrar of Indigenous Corporations.
And the application or the applying is the communication that you're having with ORIC, for example, isn't it?
Exactly, that's exactly right. So you've got to, with all these things, it's good to be on your front foot.
Yes.
And, you know, best to ask in advance. rather than, you know, making the decision yourselves and then trying to seek forgiveness for doing the
exactly.
wrong thing. So that's right.
So, COVID-19 is upon us, so we can still do business and hear the steps to do so. You know, it's about being adaptable, isn't it? Adapting.
It is. That's right. And look, some lobs around the country can still hold face-to-face meetings.
Sure.
You've just got to comply with all those COVID regulations, et cetera. Mm. Make sure that your rule books, you know, you're compliant with that. And as I said, if you need some exemptions, apply to the Office of the Registrar of Indigenous Corporations.
Fantastic. Lovely, beautiful Jan. Good to catch up with you. And before we let you go, who's Murrawa Law?
Yeah, look, Murrawa Law is an Indigenous legal firm, mostly staffed by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lawyers. I think we're sitting at about 90% of our mob in the practice.
Yes.
And we specialise in commercial property and Indigenous law. And, look, anyone's welcome to give us a call at any time on 07-4041-3088. And, look, if we can't give you a hand, we can certainly try and find someone else who can for you.
Lovely. Leah, thank you so very much. All the best to your team, your family. Stay safe and we'll yarn soon.
Will do. Thanks, Trev.
Bye-bye. Adele Yarn there. That's Leah Cameron, principal lawyer there for Murrawa Law. And a big shout-out to her team. Black lawyers operating in the legal world. And our conversations there were debt collection and recovery notes and how you need to operate in regarding chasing money that's owed to you by clients, so to speak, and also the other topic, holding Indigenous corporation meetings under COVID-19 restrictions. Too Deadly, have your saying, Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Sitting at the bar, you're looking. when the night upsets me and my bad dreams won't let me get to sleep at all. The whole night through, when the dark day surrounds me and all my demons just hound me, that's when I call and reach for you. You have always seen me through, yeah, all the times I've cried. And I don't know what I would do without you by my side. When I'm sad and lonely and it seems like you're the only friend I found, at least one that's true. When they all desert me and anybody tries to hurt me, oh, I turn around and reach for you. Sometimes I don't feel so strong, even when I try to be. Everything will turn upside down if you are here.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning shirt, BBM 98.7.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. You can have your say by calling from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, the stress, the anxiety, the fight. Aboriginal artists, researchers, history of women on missions. We're talking about Sister Glenys Briggs. We're going to catch up a yarn with her and talk about the spaces she's working in. On the line, Glenys, good morning, Sister. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you for coming to the program, my sister. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
To all those listeners out there to in Burrumbuna listening area, I'm a Victorian woman. My tribal affiliations are Yorta Yorta, Tangarang, which is central Victoria, and Wiradjuri. So I've got a long, strong connection down here, but I've been living up in Queensland, so love all you mobs up there.
Too deadly. Love you too, my sister. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking about the stress, the anxiety, the fight that our women who lived in missions, and in regard to the hardship. I mean, growing up, you're hearing stories about our strong women, mothers, aunties, sisters, and daughters raised on missions and reserves under the iron grip of Aboriginal protectorate. That's what we're talking about, hey, sister.
I grew up on an Aboriginal mission called Kamaragandra, and my mother grew up on the same reserve. And my grandmother and my great-grandmother was on the Kamaragandra Aboriginal mission too. And my great-grandmother was also at Corranderik, which is further up down Victoria. So there's a long history of family coming through the missions and reserves. And I've wanted to actually research this for many years now. Mm. And I finally got the opportunity to do this now through a fellowship through the Victorian State Library.
Okay. And telling the story, I mean, and feeling the hurt, like you said, the stress, the anxiety, and of course the fight, and the how we women, well, men as well, have been treated in regard to living on a mission. Yes.
Absolutely. I got stories from my own family, sort of firsthand, how they were starved on the reserves. They had to scratch around for food to feed the family. Scratch around for medicines for their children. And it was a good thing that a lot of these women had their own traditional medicine knowledge. Mm. So that helped them keep them going too. But there's been such a lot of heartache in just researching my own family. So when I start researching the women right across the Victorian and New South Wales Reserves and Mission, I'm going to find it very hard to do this. Yeah.
Well, it's very emotional, you know. I mean, we're talking about ancestral, we're talking about adversity, like you said, the heartache and the loss, but above all, the resilience. But everyone's got a story to tell, and let's say it can be very emotional in regarding having these conversations there, Glynis.
Yes. I'm planning on getting out there and speaking to some of the older women and even families who have these stories that they would like to tell. I think these stories that haven't been told need to come out into the light and give our ancestors and our families a voice.
Mm.
To let people know just how hard it was for these women and how strong and resilient they were to actually come through this. And even the outcomes were absolutely amazing.
Yes.
They were absolutely beautiful, strong women, and I want to tell their story.
And look, it could be empowering for our young ones, you know, in regarding the atrocity, the treatment, you know. But that could empower us to become better and be stronger and pave the way for our ancestors and becoming successful in whatever journey we decide to take.
Well, doing this, I hope to tell some of the family stories which children then can read about.
Yes.
Read about their great-grandmothers who did these amazing things, you know, and how hard they had to fight to get there.
Yeah, and so you're an artist, and so you're using that as a tool as well?
Yes, I'll be producing a document on my research and also producing some artworks. I'm a printmaker and a possum skin cloak maker. And I do lots of other things to tell our stories.
Yes.
So I'm producing some prints on some artwork which will relate to the stories I find.
And the stories that are told are meant to be told. Like I said, we all got a story to tell. And
yes.
I've always said that Australia's got a history, black or white, good or bad. But the history is a history, and the history need to be told, you know, and to, to cover up the wounds, but also to empower and to tell the truth. And we're talking about truth telling, aren't we?
Yes, and as Indigenous artists, I think we're educators too.
Exactly.
So we have a platform that we can stand on and tell these stories. So I keep telling my stories. Some are very confrontational.
Yes.
But if you tell them in the right way, people will listen.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Mm. And so you're on the way. You started the stories as such. Have you got a web page, or how do people hear the stories, or are you writing a book? Are you?
Yeah, I've got a website, which is www.minjaraart, which is minjaraart.com, and I will be putting up pieces on my website.
Mm.
just to keep people informed as to where I'm going, and if I need to if they need to contact me to talk about their family.
Yep, beautiful, fantastic. So all the W's dot minjara.com.
Minjara Art, yes.
Minjara Art. And that's M I N J A A R.
Yeah, and double A R T.
Double A R T.
Yes, okay. There's two lots of double A.
Yeah, there is. I'm just picking that up. Fantastic. Well, that's good. So, look, thank you very much for your yarn, my sister. It's very powerful for what you're doing. The stories need to be told. And you're using your art as the vehicle, as the tool. And having yarns, are you yarning with women just in your area or across the state, if not country?
Across New South Wales and Victoria.
Beautiful.
And who knows?
Exactly.
In time, I might also visit other states and speak to other women about this.
Yeah, powerful. My sister, thank you very much, Glenys. All the best to your sister.
Thanks for having me.
You take care, and we'll be in touch, okay?
Thanks, Trevor.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, all.
A deadly yarn there. Glenys Briggs, her name is. And she's getting in touch with our deadly strong women, mothers, aunties, sisters, and daughters raised on missions. And talk about the stress, the anxiety, the fight while our women grew up on missions. And look, a story to be told there and truth telling. Fantastic. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Enter the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Queensland borders are reopening soon. It's not too late to vaccinate to protect yourself and your mob. Yarn with your doctor or visit covid19vaccine.qld.gov.au to find a walk-in location. Protect your community and get the vax today. Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane.
Station sponsor.
Hey, you mob. Are you interested in becoming a community peer champion in North Queensland? Do you have an interest in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community health? Do you want to become a cultural connector for our mob? Want to support our mob living with HIV and increase community awareness about sexual health? Become a peer champion today. Come on board and increase your skills, broaden your knowledges, build relationships, increase resilience and support our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities. Want to know more? Contact Natasha at Two Spirits on 0474 251 866 for a safe and confidential yarn.
Station sponsor.
One mob, one tribe, one people, one mob.
And rain.
get on your mob. It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yogan gadi wala nung gung yiwala mulang mai. Yogan gadi wala nung gung yiwala mulang mai. Yogan gadi wala nung gung yiwala mulang mai.
Assumption in this world, it's hard for a brother to function. Cause I don't care about a black man, so I keep my foot on the pedal, never relaxing. Look at where the youth told me who the hell cares. Gas cops, we never worried about our welfare. Judged in this room that we hardly knew. Split us apart, now you argue the path I choose. What my kind of choice do I have? Got a target on my back because I'm black, I'm asking you. Could you understand why we stay confused? I don't do it for the fame of jewels. And the truth is, I'd love to go back to how we used to live. And things change, but that's the way it is.
Just the way it is.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumba Bip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, next segment we got, Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Piconi, IGA, Brinsmead and Edmonton. They give us a box of fruit here at Bumba Bip Media. And for our school-based traineeship, we talk about healthy living, healthy lifestyle. And it's about chewing on an apple and a banana rather than a Mars bar and a picnic. There you go. So it's about healthy living, healthy lifestyle. And which are yarning, proudly sponsored, like I said, by Piconi, but also Edmonton Police. I'm going to catch up with the guys there, Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay and his bodyguard PLO, Police Liaison Officer Stephen Grant. Very good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. How are you?
Fantastic. Great to see you. Good to see you, boys. Thank you very much. Our topic today, gentlemen, scams. Mobile phone scams. Look, there's plenty of scams out there. Don't worry about that. But the topic today is about mobile phones.
Yeah, and we all have a mobile phone pretty well.
Well, we do, don't we?
You know,
yeah.
They're a handy bit of kit.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to remember it also provides an avenue for these scammers to come into our life and take money out of our bank accounts.
By any means necessary, eh? They're like vultures, aren't they? So whatever tool is out there, here it is, we're talking about phones, I'll jump on that. So talk to me about some scams that are out there at the moment that you guys as police officers are aware of.
Yeah, so look, we'll start off with a ringtone scam.
Mm-hmm.
We all love a deadly ringtone, bit of music playing in our ears while our phone is ringing, or for the person that's contacting us.
Yes.
There are legitimate companies that do sell ringtones. There's no problem with accessing those companies, but it's also an avenue there for scammers to provide a ringtone that will charge you at a premium rate. So they can be scams where each time the phone rings, you've got to pay for that ringtone. They're very hard to get out of those contracts with those companies when you do sign up.
Because you sign up with them and it's not a one-off payment. Every time that phone rings, ching, 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 ching,
exactly.
In their bank account.
Exactly.
Whoa, I didn't know of that. Okay, ringtone scams, okay.
Yep, so, you know, and this is part of the scam is they just can make it very, very difficult for you to stop the ringtone or to opt out of the service. So they do their very best to keep you on board and receiving their service, and then they're charging you a premium amount for that service.
Okay, and that would be the same as what we've got here, missed call scams and text message scams. So same thing, isn't it?
It is like a miss. So our missed call scams. That's basically where they call your phone and let's say it'll ring once, mm-hmm. and then it hangs up, and then human curiosity takes over, and you pick up your phone and you look there and you
miss
go,
call.
Geez, I don't know who that was.
Mm. Ring
might
back.
Be someone important, and I call them back. Now, the trick there for the scammer is to keep you on the line. So if you've called them back and you're having a conversation with these people, they might ask you questions.
They get details.
They get details. You're wondering where this conversation's going.
Yeah.
But the whole time you're paying for this very expensive phone call,
okay.
and that money is going into the.
So they just extend that yarn.
Yeah, very crafty. Very, very crafty, yes.
Yeah, you're going to talk about your phone, but how do you reckon the Broncos went last week?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden talking about fishing up at Cape York and then
yep.
4 hours later.
You don't know where it's going, and where it's going is empty in your bank account.
There you go. Okay, and yep. text messages are the same, are they?
Yeah, that's right. So our text message scam, you know, it may be someone that you receive a text message. It could be something like, you know, are you good to go out this Friday or something like that?
Yeah.
You look at the number and you don't know who that is.
And go, where Friday? I'm on shift. What's she talking about? Who's this?
Yep. So, and that might be your reply. It might be just, you know, who's this, you know, that's made contact.
Mm.
Look, sometimes you're paying up to $4 to send and receive those text messages from that scammer. So each time...
But that's only you, but there's 40,000 people out there that are the same person too.
Absolutely. That's a lot of money.
Yeah,
you know?
$4 by 40,000.
Yep. And so that their trick there is just to keep you in that conversation. So,
yes.
So you will text back, they will reply, you text back, you'll reply. And just to... And look, if they get 10 text messages out of you, there's 40 bucks from.
Yep, know, exactly.
Easy money.
Yep. All right, fantastic. Yeah, because unmarked calls, I don't answer
private,
them.
Yep, yeah, private calls.
Yeah, private calls, I don't answer them.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll get a text from my son, Dad, I'm trying to ring you. I can well, your thing's on private, that's why I don't answer it.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Exactly.
He's like, oh, sorry, Dad, pick me up, please, I'm ready.
Yeah, I want to talk about another tricky one too.
Mm.
These are trivia scams, SMS trivia.
Trivia scams.
Okay, so that's just encouraging... you know, people to take part in a competition for a prize.
Okay.
All right, so...
By ringing you or texting you?
Yep, normally by text.
Yep.
You know, it seems pretty simple and innocent that, you know, there's a great prize on offer if you can answer a certain number of questions correctly. They're making their money, again, like them text message scams, just by the messages going back and forwards.
Yeah.
You're paying an enormous amount of money for...
Because you're giving the so-called answer to the so-called question of a trivia.
Yep.
And then, they hook you up.
And so the first load of questions you'll receive are going to be quite easy questions.
Sure.
And that's where you get sucked in because you think this... You know,
I'm a winner. I'm deadly. I'm going to keep going here.
Five questions.
I get a prize at the end of it.
Exactly.
No, they're taking your prize.
Yep. And then the last couple of questions that you may need to answer to claim your prize can be very, very difficult or even impossible to answer correctly.
Mm.
And again, they've sucked you into the message cycle and made their money from you before you knew it.
Okay. So give us some... cautionary actions in regard to all this?
Yeah, look, probably the first one, with the ringtone scams, know what you're probably signing up to, okay?
Yep.
Now, we're all guilty of it, you know. Anyone that goes and even downloads an app these days, they'll always see the terms and conditions that come up on the screen. Very few of us will read it. It's full of legal jargon, very difficult to understand, and we want that ringtone or we want that app.
Mm.
So we just scroll right down and say accept.
Yes, exactly.
Mm. You know, look, a lot of the times with our bigger social media...
Well, who reads fine print?
Oh, yeah. Look, with our bigger social media giants, you know, their terms and conditions are fairly reasonable.
Yes.
And that's why people would sign up to, you know, some of those networks. But when we get down to things like that are selling ringtones, there can be some there that have terms and conditions in there that make it very difficult for you to
and 25 pages.
Exactly. So look, sometimes, you know, you should read.
Yes.
And I shouldn't say sometimes, I should say all the time. We should read the terms and conditions,
yep.
you know. So.
Well, if not, you'd be scammed.
Yeah, exactly. It just makes it less easier for you to be scammed. So.
Sure.
Look, if you have signed up to some of these, you can text stop back to unwanted text messages to end the unwanted subscriptions. You may have to go back to the company policy and have, sure. have a read on how to end that.
Or you can go back to the company that you're registered with to help them with their IT persons to get behind
the carriers.
To cancel that contact.
Yep.
Probably so, right?
Yeah, well, look, you could... you'd be trying everything because this is your hard-earned money that's disappearing before your eyes. So, look, just as a caution, never to reply to a text message offering you a free ringtone or to a missed call number that you don't recognise. And like you're saying, you do that now with your own children, but that's not a bad thing.
Exactly. Good habit.
Skeptical about what's going on.
Mm.
Look, they're also asking that we don't ring numbers beginning with 1-9 unless you make yourself aware of the cost involved. So, look, I'm assuming anything that starts with 1-9 is going to be a premium rate phone call.
Yep.
So if that's the number that you're calling back, that's probably going to be a very costly phone call.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And, look, to stay informed, we've got our ScamWatch website. That's an Australian government website. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure it's the Australian Consumer Commission.
All the W's dot scamwatch.gov.au.
Correct.
Yep.
And then we've also got cybergov.au.
Okay.
Same thing to report any scams. And they have a wealth of information on scams.
So with something like this, as police officers, when there's a new scam that comes to the table, so to speak, you guys are educated on that in regard to be aware what's out there.
We do. We receive intel reports when scams are going around. There is, and you can imagine we couldn't know all of the scams that are out there.
No, that's right.
But a simple thing, COVID hit, straight away people are, there's scams on COVID. You know, we've got the old, the phone call to say you've got a warrant, you need to pay some money, or you need to buy iPhone. What do you call it?
Credit. Update credit.
You know, they're more common ones that we're all aware of. But you know, you always should be skeptical, and before you part with your money, know exactly what you're going to get.
All right. And so, if there's any dramas going on, contact the police straight away.
Yeah.
Yep. And what numbers are we talking?
Yep.
Would it be a 000?
No, you wouldn't be calling 000. 000 is for if you're in
emergency.
Yes, it's an emergency.
Okay, thanks. Yep. Sorry, I'm getting fired up.
Look, 131.
Don't scare me. I'll ring 000. Don't scare me.
131 444. That's our police link number.
Okay. Yeah.
Look, it's always good to just walk down to your local station if you've got the time, and just have a chat with the officers there, and you know, they can point you in the right direction also.
Mm.
Be aware, though, with scams, a lot of these people that are scamming you out of your money are not from Australia. They're not from this country.
Yeah.
The sad overseas and unfortunate part about it is it's very difficult to get that money back.
Yeah, exactly.
If not impossible. And that's the sad reality of it. Mm. You know, some people not gullible people either, some very intelligent people.
Yep.
You know, unfortunately, fall victim to scams and can lose considerable amount of money.
Well, there it is. You've been warned. Thank you very much, gentlemen. I'll text you boys later. All right. Good talking to you both. Thank you very much for coming in. Very important conversation. And we'll talk soon, gents.
Okay. Right, thank you.
See you, Dudley. All right, beautiful yarn there with the boys in blue from Edmonton Police. And that segment there, Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Piconi, IGA, Brisbane, Edmonton. A box of fruit here at Bumbo Bipper Media. It's healthy living, healthy lifestyle is what we push. And the topic there, scams, mobile phone scams. And it's about you doing what you need to do, due diligence, about protecting yourself. That's what it's all about. Have your say, yarn up strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Be a beacon if your light don't shine. You can't be a beacon if your light don't shine. There's a little light in all of us by God's design.
Yeah, lovely track there. You can't be beacon if your light don't shine. That's Wilma Burgess here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We're going to catch up with Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. Everybody else out there, Radio
One. Yeah, good, brother. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. I was pensioned. I did everything, race around yesterday.
Yes.
The police were just on about the phones, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right, yes.
I mean, a bit to do with the police and the phones recently.
What was that?
That thing down at the green patch.
Thank you, that's right. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, you videoed everything. Then you made the phone call on the same phone you videoed. And no more from that conversation?
Well, the fellow went to court on Tuesday, as far as I know. And I got to know quite a few travellers down at the green patch. And they helped me put that the arrest and how I was abused. And he put the arrest on YouTube and people... Mm. I'm amazed at how it spread. So anybody wants to see that, that's the Green Patch Maniac. And, I'm getting help maybe to get a Dingy Yard website up from people that are really helping me with phones. The good thing about the, what I want to say about the, anybody that views that YouTube Green Patch thing is it was sort of R-rated. The people said there's a lot of swearing on it, so they've got to, they had to... So, over 18. And the other thing it shows is what a good job the police did in arresting him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not...
Well, a bit of a neighbour's watch in how you operated there, you know, and it just shows that, you know, we all need to work together to protect the community, protect people in the community, you know, protect the public and protect areas, you know.
And what it was all about is... I intervened because he threatened a group of Aboriginal people with a gun, which I was really wild at the press.
Which main media didn't state that fact. They said they were harassing visitors or travellers, which wasn't the case, was it?
It was not the case. Mm. And the video doesn't show that. But and now that the whole campground has been shut for the travellers, now they... He shouldn't have been released. This is one person, you know, and people get away and they do more things. Mm. He's been in more trouble since that. The whole Green Patch camping ground is shut. Well, TOs are happy. They never asked for that. They've been shut out of the river. I've been down there for a year putting flyers up every afternoon, over a year now, and I've slowed down a little bit because it was pretty exhausting trying to get press together. But that's an Aboriginal place first. First people first, and I agree with Selwyn too. Sometimes, you know, you say black and white's pretty good too, mate.
I hear you, brother. Exactly.
Yeah, but no, that's a Murray thing. It's a Murray station, and that's good. All the Murrays survive and get strong, you know. And we're the melt. Some of us are the melting pot in the middle, and you can't help who love direction too.
Exactly, brother. We are one.
Yeah, can I say one other little thing?
Go ahead.
Yesterday there was a lady on talking about Black Lorikeet and Walking Between Worlds and putting computers and stuff up on thing for artists.
Yeah, Vanessa Lee Ahmet, yep.
Yeah, all good, but they said they were trying to cut out the middleman and they said that the artists get 30%, which sort of makes them the major... I've just got a little bit of criticism there. I think the artist should get at least 50% because they were talking about adding money and giving it to charities. I just think the maximum amount possible should go to the artist, the one that does the work.
The statement was they were not cutting at the middleman. They're bringing middleman to the table as well. It just becomes another platform. Yeah, 30%, you're saying they should be getting 50. But the 30% there sits there, but then it's always on the web page, so to speak. And whenever anyone else across the globe, that's the good thing about it, purchases it again, there's the ongoing residual income. There's a passive income, which is a platform that hasn't been created. So 30% ongoing residual is better than, you know, 50% once only, is what I'm thinking.
It's a little bit complicated for some of us really rich people to think, but sure. Yeah, it's a thing. And I'm trying to get something like that up with a little help from my friends. It's an old song that are helping me get things online and the art and the whole of Dingy Art story, mate, because I have to get my wife's art recognised on it. And I still have the job. I have to fund the cemetery.
Yes.
That's my major concern in life, and that's what's keeping me going. That I've got unfinished business for myself.
Exactly.
Anyway,
thank you, my brother.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Thank you, brother. Take care. That's our Tony Gibbs having his say here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Going to sign off here for today. I want to give a big shout and a very good morning to beautiful Samantha there in WA. Sorry, Samantha, couldn't take your call today, but give us a call tomorrow. And a big hello to your beautiful son, your carer, John. Hope he's well, and we'll talk soon. Enjoy your new deadly wireless. This is Trendy Trev signing off. You might stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We're in a pandemic. Abide by the rules. Get the jab. If not, have the conversation about the jab. That's what it's all about. You, as an individual, got your own choice, but it's about making the right choice, and your choice is the right choice in regard to which way you go. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, tomorrow, 1-800-422-416.